Good morning. Greetings in the precious name of Jesus, the one that we're here to honor and to reverence today. Gerald, Melissa, it's here. The wait is over. Congratulations to both of you. Proverbs 24, verse 3 says this, through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. And we're going to think about this for a few minutes this morning, and I would like to tell you that I had a lot of research done, and I went back to the beginning of the 19th century, and I interviewed people that have been married, and I have a whole bunch of wisdom up here to share with you this morning. But I did get a little input from six different people, and I asked them this question. I said, what is an important key to a strong, solid, happy marriage? And these friends of mine that I asked this, they ranged in age of about 24 years old to probably about 70. And they ranged in length of marriage from around a year to close to 50. So we should have a pretty good spectrum of wisdom here this morning to think about. One of them said this. He said, if guys would love their wives like themselves and wives honor their husbands, that would make for some awesome marriages. And I think there's a lot of truth in that. I like what he said there. Another one said this, just simply love with two exclamation points, and then of God. And I think our brothers already reminded us that this morning. You're going to build your home, you're going to build your marriage on the love of God first, and then the love to each other. The third one said communication, communication, communication. And he said it a little bit louder each time. And it's interesting, he was the youngest one. And he said, never go to sleep with unresolved feelings. Always be open and transparent. And I think that we all can understand and relate to that. Another says, a servant's heart. Being willing to serve rather than be served. And that is some very practical things for y'all to think about, Gerald and Melissa, as you start your life together. He said, most importantly, a commitment to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And that, again, we already heard that, and that is paramount. The number five, he said, a proper view of God and the order he designed for the Christian husband and wife. And the last one is unselfish love, communication, and lots of romance. So that was his wisdom, and I just wanted to share that with you. I thought it went with what I had to give this morning. Back to Proverbs chapter 24, I'm going to read a few more of these verses. Today, here in a few minutes, you're going to share your vows before God and man. You're going to make these commitments. You're going to walk down that aisle, a married couple. You're going to start your life together. Proverbs 24:3, through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. Notice verse 4, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. Gerald, I know for a fact that this is a desire of your heart. I know you pretty well. And as you think about a house being builded, as they used here in the Proverbs, it's not proper English, but let's use it this morning. As a house being builded, the materials, the foundations, and everything being established, I know that is your desire this morning. A writer of old penned a little bit of an explanation of these words, and I want to share them with you. A family is built up, furnished and supplied with necessaries and conveniences of life, and brought into flourishing and prosperous circumstances by wise and prudent management, by diligence and industry, through the blessing of God upon them. And that was a writer of old's explanation of this words, through wisdom is an house builded. So this morning, have a mission statement in your home. Know what you believe. Stand on what you believe. Be together on what you believe. Build your marriage on the foundation of Jesus Christ. You know, we hear a lot in the world we live in, and even in our Anabaptist circles, we hear a lot that it's hard to understand a woman. And I want to encourage you this morning, Gerald, that God didn't create a helpmeet to be something that you cannot figure out. It is to be a beautiful picture of Christ in the church. And that lady that's sitting beside you this morning is not a complicated individual. She's not someone that's going to drive you up a wall trying to figure out. God didn't make her that way. God created her exactly how he intended to. The Bible says this, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord." That's what the Bible says. So believe that. Don't believe anything else. Yes, women are created different than men, but God didn't make them a mystery we can't solve. The Bible also says, "For husbands to love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." This is what the Bible says. Do you see impossibility, incompatibility there? God didn't make this not to work. And I don't fully understand this, but I will tell you that through the scripture and what God has laid out for us, that marriage is a wonderful opportunity to express love as Christ has showed us so clearly. And I encourage you this morning, Gerald and Melissa, to remember the love that Christ had for you when he died on the cross as you begin your life together. I encourage each one that is here this morning to exercise and express love as what Christ has done for you. These verses tell me that marriage is supposed to be beautiful and happy, and it's a part of a plan to bring him honor and glory. And that is my prayer for you and Melissa this morning, Gerald. Verses 28 and 29, we want to look at them just a little bit. It says that the husband is to love his wife like his own flesh. It says that husbands are to nourish their wives and they are to cherish their wives. Let's consider these two words for just a minute here, Gerald. You've probably read them before. You've probably heard them your whole life. But nourish and cherish, if you will make these a part of your life, I can guarantee a happy marriage. Nourish means to bring your wife to the fullest potential that she can be in Christ. That's what the word nourish means. Nourish means help her to grow by meeting her needs, by being that encouragement to her. To cherish means to soften with heat. It means tender love. It means love in action. And as you'll find out, and as you probably already have found out, that this is a need in a lady's life. It's how God made them. They need time. They need attention. They need security. First Peter 3 verse 7 says that refers to the wife as the weaker vessel. Now, I don't know which one of you would win if you would get in a little tussle. I'm not sure. Melissa's probably pretty strong. But this refers to the wife as the weaker vessel. It doesn't mean that she can't stand on her own two feet. It doesn't mean that she's weak. It doesn't mean that she can't handle life. It means that she's delicate and of immense value. Look the word up. It's beautiful. So we often say the weaker vessel as we grab the bookshelf or the table to move it. Yes, that's true. But this verse means that she is delicate and of immense value. And if you're married here this morning, whether it's been 2 weeks or 40 years, remember that your wife is delicate and of immense value and is to be handled with love and tender care. Husbands, love your wives. Titus 2:4 says that the young women are to love their husbands. This morning, I don't doubt your love for each other a bit. I can see it writ all over your face. And I'm confident that each of you have heard the other one say, "I love you. Keep it up." Make it a very often practice in your life. 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. If you will make these verses a daily part of your life, your love can be real and it can be true and strong. Suffereth long means patient endurance even when provoked. It means long-tempered. It means that love doesn't retaliate. Love is kind. It means active goodness. Do things for each other. Be kind to each other. It means to not be hateful or mean. It means to be kind in word and action. Envieth not. True love is not jealous. True love doesn't make a parade. It isn't proud. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Love is never rude. Love doesn't put your wife down. Love doesn't put your husband down. Love always treats others with compassion and consideration and respect. Thinketh no evil, or don't take worthless inventory. Don't think about everything you wish the other one would do different. Thinketh no evil. Genuine love doesn't blame motives on the other. It doesn't hold a grudge. Just a few thoughts on the word love. And this love is supposed to be mutual. I know it looks like I'm preaching at you, Gerald, but that's just how it is when you're a preacher and you're a man. You got to preach at the man. But the husband is commanded to love his wife with every fiber of his being. And that is my prayer for you this morning for both of you. Love beareth all things. Love believeth all things. Love hopeth all things. And love endureth all things. It sticks it out. It doesn't abandon ship and run off. Love sticks it out. Love needs to be the center pod of your marriage. And if you're familiar with what I'm talking about there, it needs to be the center of your marriage. And everything else comes out from that. Love to God first, and then love to each other. Gerald, your grandpa is known to say, joy is the flag that flies above the palace when the king is in residence. And I didn't ask him if I could use that this morning, but I don't think he minds. Have a marriage that shouts out to the world that this is a home where the king is in residence, where joy abounds. The writer of Ecclesiastes kind of says this. He says to live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy life. The Proverbs writer says to rejoice with the wife of thy youth. You know, over the last several months, I would see Gerald there at the shop coming and going, and I would flag him down sometimes, and I'd usually talk to him every day, and I'd say, Gerald, how you doing? And he would get that big smile, and he said, I'm doing great. I'd say, how's the wife? And he would get a bigger smile, and he said, she's doing great. Keep it up. Keep it up. Have joy as the flag that flies above your palace and your home. Just a few things. As you start your life together, remember to communicate with God daily. Make prayer a big part of your lives together. Pray together often. Pray for each other. Read and study the Bible. Make it a priority. Make it real. Communicate with each other. Be open. Be honest. You know, the devil can take a tiny thing and can drive you right apart in just a short amount of time. Communicate. Be open. Be honest. Make your family your priority. Love to be at home. Don't allow the pressures of life to hinder your stability at home. Think long term. Look at the future. Think of the impact that your family will have on society. Build strong, solid convictions together. Know what you believe. Stand on what you believe. Never compromise. Be active in church. And I say that a little selfishly, but I'm thankful that you're going to be at home in our church. Be active. Love the brotherhood. Be strong where God calls you. God bless you richly as you start your life together. I know that you want to serve Him. And here's a quote that I want to leave with you. Our lives should be more than just focusing on our marriages, but focusing our marriage toward what God's mission is for us as a couple. And I leave that with you this morning. In just a few short minutes, you're going to be husband and wife. Make your marriage a mission for what you can do for God. May God add his blessing.